This morning we'll continue to look at the Lord's Prayer. This morning let's read again Matthew chapter 6 verses 9 through 15. Let me pray for us. Lord God, we thank you for your word. And Lord God, we continue to pray, Lord, that you would teach us, that you would change us by your word, that you would give us insight, that you would give us wisdom and hope and power in you. For we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Jesus said, pray then like this: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Well, this morning, as we continue to work our way through the Lord's Prayer, we're going to be at verse 12, as we also have forgiven our debtors. So in this very same breath that Jesus has invited us to ask for forgiveness, Jesus invites us to forgive those who have sinned against us. Forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. As we also. And so there's this connection right there between asking for forgiveness and forgiving those who have wronged us. The two, they are connected. And Jesus, he elaborates on this point. In the Lord's Prayer, he doesn't elaborate on anything else, but he elaborates on this point as he goes on in verses 14 and 15. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. You know, this is one of those sayings of Jesus's that sometimes it makes you just want to say, Jesus, why did you have to say that? I thought I had it all kind of understood. You know, it's almost like Jesus is saying, if I don't forgive the people who have sinned against me, if I don't forgive the people who have wronged me and offended me, then God won't forgive me. Is that what Jesus is saying? You know, look again, the verse. If you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Yeah, these verses can bother us on, I think, several different levels. Number one, there are people in our life we just don't want to forgive, right? And so when Jesus says you need to forgive others, that can bother us. We've said it before and we mean it. I will never forgive that person. And then number two, these verses, they're hard verses just to thrust on other people. You know, it's one thing to say, you know, I've been lied to, or, you know, I've been yelled at, or I've been called this name, or you know, I've been disappointed in this way. But it's another thing to be really hurt by someone, you know, violated by someone. And it's hard to tell that person, you need to forgive him. You need to forgive her. And then third, you know, theologically, a lot of things just don't feel right about, especially verses 14 and 15. Jesus is almost, it's almost like Jesus saying, you've got to do something in order to be forgiven. You know, it sounds like works, doesn't it? And doesn't Jesus forgive us for everything? And so For a variety of reasons, these verses, this prayer, as we forgive our debtors, verses 14 and 15, they can really bother us. But here's the thing. That's okay. Yeah, that's what Jesus does. You know, Jesus bothers us, and he bugs us. And if you don't know Jesus as someone who bothers you and bugs you and stops you and makes you scratch your head every once in a while and challenges everything in your life, then you really, I would say you really don't know Jesus. You don't know the Jesus the disciples knew. I mean, how many times did Jesus say something and the disciples are just scratching their heads? What did you say? They literally say to Jesus, how can you say that? Actually, they literally say to Jesus, don't say that on different occasions. You can't say that. But what did Jesus do? He kept on bothering them. He kept on bugging them, and he loved them enough to tell them everything, to show them everything, even when they thought they knew everything already. And so I think there's something special here, this part of the Lord's Prayer. Jesus is bringing us into something special. He's bothering us. He's bothering our sensibilities. He's also bringing us in to a deeper understanding of who he is. A deeper understanding of his kingdom that he has called us into. You know, a couple weeks ago, we looked at the parable of the unmerciful servant. Do you remember in Matthew chapter 18? Do you remember this servant had a debt? Does anybody remember what his debt was? 10,000 talents, right? And you remember one talent was worth about 20 years of a laborer's wages. You know, 20 years worth of wages for a day laborer. And Jesus said, this servant had a debt of 10,000 talents. And so, you know, Jesus is teaching that this is a debt that's impossible to pay. But what happened? The servant found forgiveness from his master, and his master forgave his debt. And that's what we looked at a couple weeks ago. We didn't look at the rest of the story, but here's the rest of the story. This servant who is completely forgiven from this huge debt he can never pay back, he goes out, and what does he do? He finds one of his own servants who owes him money. And his fellow servant, he says, you know, please be patient with me. Please, I'll pay it back if you just show me mercy. But this servant says, no. And this servant who was just forgiven this huge debt of 10,000 talents, he wouldn't forgive his fellow servant. And Jesus points out that his fellow servant's debt was what? Just 100 denarii. What's a denarii? A denarii is like 1 day's wage, not 20 years worth of wages times 10,000. And so this servant won't even forgive his fellow servant. So Jesus is saying this servant who was forgiven a debt that totaled millions of dollars, and some folks say maybe today the value would even be billions of dollars, he wouldn't forgive his fellow servant who owed him a few $100. And Jesus said when the master heard about this, he was so angry, and the master took the servant who wouldn't forgive, and the master had him thrown in prison, basically telling him, if you're not going to forgive, then neither do I forgive you. And Jesus finishes that parable in Matthew 18 by saying this, so also my heavenly Father will do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother from your heart. You know, forgiving others, And I know this is harder for some more than others. But forgiving others begins with the understanding of how much we have been forgiven. Charles Spurgeon, he once said, "If any man thinks badly of you, do not be angry with him, for you are far worse than he thinks you to be." Tim Keller said, "The gospel is this: we are more sinful, we are more flawed in ourselves than we ever dared believe. Yet at the same time, we are more loved and forgiven and accepted in Jesus Christ than we ever dared hope." You know, as we forgive our debtors, it begins with an understanding of how much we have been forgiven, how far away you were from God until he saw you and he grabbed you and he brought you in. You know, I would have these nightmares as a child, through elementary school, through middle school, maybe two or three times a year, this same nightmare. And I had the nightmare two times when we lived in Turkey. But basically, this nightmare is this terrible nightmare that I turned away from God. And I don't know if you ever had that nightmare or not. But anyways, in those nightmares, probably the furthest away from God that I've ever felt. I mean, it was just terrifying. I would wake up screaming and sweating and so forth, but cold, alone, fearful, guilty. And then I would wake up and I'd be, "Oh, the Lord still has me. I'm still his. He still holds me." But those nightmares, you know, I guess gave me a taste more than anything of what it's like to live without God's grace. You know, what it's like to be so far away. And you think about it, I mean, that is all of us. You know, Jesus taught in that parable of the unmerciful servant, Matthew 18, that we looked at this morning, we were all so far away. That's all of us. We all have this debt that none of us can pay back ourselves. Jesus forgave it, and he brought you out of the darkness, and he brought you into the wonderful light of his kingdom. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Jesus teaching, pray like this. You know, no one should be so merciful and forgiving as the one who has been shown mercy and forgiveness. And we looked at the word forgive a few weeks ago, an interesting verb that's found throughout the New Testament with the basic meaning to release, you know, to leave behind. To let go. And so forgiveness is really releasing people around you that you could hold on to with angerness and bitterness and vengeance. You know, forgiveness is not counting something against someone that you could justifiably count against. You know, even though you would be justified to be angry, even though you would be justified to have feelings of resentment, even though you would be justified to want revenge, forgiveness is releasing a person from your anger, from your bitterness, from wanting to get back at them. Now, getting back to those verses. Verses 14 and 15. The question, you know, it comes up, you know, does this mean, after reading those verses, that anyone who does not forgive others cannot receive salvation from God? And I was thinking about that this week and just reading all kinds of stuff. John Piper, he says something that's really helpful, really helped me through this passage. And John Piper, he answered the question like this. He said, struggling to forgive is not what destroys us. He says, as long as we're in the flesh, as long as we're in the world, we're in these bodies, we will do our good deeds and our good works imperfectly, right? Including forgiving and loving others. He said, Jesus died to cover these imperfections. Hallelujah. And he goes on, he says, what destroys us is the settled position that we will never forgive that person. We have no intention to forgive. We intend to cherish the grudge and kind of fondle, you know, the wrath at night and think about it and dwell on it because he wronged me. We're determined to hold a grudge against her the rest of your life or her life. And John Piper said, that's what destroys us. He says, if we think that we can be on the one hand indwelt by the Spirit of God, and then on the other hand, be determined that we will never forgive a certain person, he says, we are deluded. We are deluded in our thinking. We don't forgive perfectly, but we're called to forgive. And Jesus wants us to be in that struggle of forgiving others. You know, Paul writes this powerful verse, you know, forgive others as you have been forgiven, as Christ Jesus has forgiven you. You know, Jesus asks us to make this a part of our prayer, right? This Lord's Prayer teaching, because it requires the power of prayer. It requires a supernatural power to forgive. It's only in Jesus' power that we would want good and not harm to someone who has really hurt us. It's only in Jesus' power that we would give away the desire for revenge and wanting them to hurt as much as they hurt us. It's only in Jesus' power that we would have compassion and mercy to someone who really wronged us. Forgiveness is hard. And forgiveness, it doesn't mean that you no longer feel the pain of someone's offense. But it does mean in the power of Jesus Christ, you let go of the anger. You let go of the bitterness. You let go of those feelings of vengeance and revenge. And it points to the kingdom that you're a part of. You know, it points to the God who you follow. You know, perhaps there's no more powerful way to reflect God, to reflect who God is, and to point people to God than when we forgive. You know, when the shooting at Mother Emmanuel AME Church happened in Charleston in 2015, Rachel and Daniel, Mike, and I, we were just outside of Paris at a missions retreat. And I first heard about what happened at Mother Emmanuel from the late Elder Emeritus Michael Evans. He sent me an email, and he told me about the terrible tragedy. And he said, pray for this church. Pray for the state of South Carolina. And by the way, Monday evening, and I announced this during Sunday school, Soul Food Extravaganza, Erskine Seminary, the wife, Jennifer Pinckney, the wife of Clementa Pinckney, who was one of nine people who were killed at Mother Emmanuel AME Church, is going to speak over at Erskine Seminary after a wonderful meal. And Clementa Pinckney was pastor of the Mother Emmanuel Church, and he was also South Carolina State senator. But anyways, you're all invited. And Rachel and I are going to go, and I think a few others. We told them we're expecting maybe about 10 people from Arsenal Hill. So if you want to come, just let me know. We'll sign you up tomorrow night, 5 p.m., just a couple blocks away at Erskine Seminary. But we got back to Turkey after the conference, and I'll finish with this. We got back to where we live, just a typical Turkish town. Everybody Turkish except for a handful of missionaries. You know, we're 6,000 miles from Charleston, South Carolina. 8-hour time difference. We got back to Turkey. What are people talking about? Charleston. Mother Emmanuel Church. And especially the families and the friends of the 9 victims who said, "We forgive the killer." We never had so many opportunities to talk about God. We forgive the killer. I mean, who does that? God does that. God's people do that. God brings us in to who he is and what he's like because we're his people. You know, we do what our Father does. He forgives our debts. We forgive our debtors. So there's 3 things to remember. Number 1, be mindful of your debt that Jesus paid. Forgiving others, you know, beginning with the understanding of how much you've been forgiven. Number 2, forgiveness is not something we do perfectly, but we're God's people. And so we seek to do it faithfully in his power. Make it a part of your everyday prayer. Forgive us our debtors. Lord, give me the power to forgive. Thirdly, forgiveness points to God. It is a witness to the world. It is a witness to the world of a God who is abounding in love, of a God who is eager himself to forgive. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you, Lord, just for bringing us in, Lord, to everything. Lord, that we might not boast in our own wisdom, but that we might boast that we know you. That we're coming to understand who you are. And so, Lord, I pray that you would fill us with understanding of who you are. Then also, Lord, that you would just fill us with power to move forward in what you teach us. Lord, would you do that for us, Lord? Would you give us your power? Would you transform our minds and our hearts and our souls? Lord, we thank you for the way that you found us and you released us and you gave us freedom. Lord, help us to be like you, our Father. Lord, we want to do what you do. We want to follow you faithfully. Would you help us in this? We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.